Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 82, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, hey, fuck Coke Industries.
Oh, fuck
and
you.
Fuck Fox News.
Oh,
it's Friday, May 17th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Well, I guess it would be nice if I could Jack O'Brien. I know not everybody has got O'Brien like you. But I got the zeitgeist before I give a hot to take. And I know all of Gray is flame because he's Zeit's gang too. All right. We're not going to go into the 40 verses.
Yeah.
We're all holding out.
Were you doing the limp biscuit version?
Yes.
Okay, very limp.
Of course. Very limp. The very limp biscuit version.
Limp biscuit!
And I'm thrilled to be joined, definitely, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yes, hello. It is I, Miles Gray, a.k.a. MSTDZ host Rachel Blattow, a.k.a. DZS anchor Zan Rather, a.k.a. NDZ anchor Tom Smokehouse. We're going to take a massive blow to the face. a.k.a. Gravy C anchor Peter Jennings, a.k.a. TDZ correspondent Stoned Phillips. And thank you to Christy Yamaguchi Main at Crispy Bean Donut for that anchor inspired, a.k.a.
So good.
A.k.a. chain of AKs.
Mine was courtesy of Trite Gang, and he did a whole entire first verse that was about the news and Mike Pence and the situation in America right now in the courts. And he forgot that I am a bad singer. I would not subject our listeners to an entire verse.
They demand it. That's why they write it.
A cappella. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by returning guest and hilarious man, J.K. Van Stratton.
And hilarious man.
When it comes to my manliness, very.
Hilarity.
Very hilarious.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me back. Glad to be here.
A.K.A. Jakeith Neal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was A.K.A. just for Culture King fans. Well, J.K., we're thrilled to have you. I'm going to be seeing you fairly soon this Sunday.
That's right. Yes, you're going to be a guest on my live celebrity game show podcast, Go Fact Yourself, which we're taping here in Los Angeles on Sunday at 5 p.m. If anyone's in L.A. or you have time to get to L.A., tickets are free. It's at 5 o'clock. You can go to gofactyourpod.com for free tickets, and it's going to be awesome. Mm.
And as part of the show, you ask the celebrity guest for for areas.
People have heard of you.
For areas of expertise. I'm not, by the way, no shade on your booking ability. I'm just saying it was clearly a close.
Clearly somebody canceled, yeah.
Slow week.
I feel the same about any time I appear on anything.
But you ask for areas of expertise, and I won't spoil what mine are, but I will just let people know that it's worth coming because I think we're going to set a record for the stupidest areas of expertise.
You're
that
being
any...
too self-conscious.
Well, it's fun, though, to be They're smart about stupid things.
Because some of the shit you're saying you have an expertise, and I'm like, I fuck with that too. Say that shit's stupid.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering why you were being so defensive about me calling myself stupid.
I'm like, calm down now. That's me too.
All right. Well, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about, such as a list of America's 38, or at least the United States of America's 38 sexiest accents. We're going to talk about the Taco Bell Hotel, which is the thing. Not a joke, as far as we can tell. McDonald's is going to have some embassy qualities going forward in foreign countries. Then we're going to check in with the march towards war in Iran, which is not fun. I tried to make it fun, sound fun there. Did not succeed. We're going to talk about these abortion bans and where it will end. We're going to ask Reddit to put its money where its mouth is and ask, what if Reddit actually wrote Game of Thrones Season 8? What would have happened?
What would it look like?
And a couple bizarre, like seemingly random word-generated pop culture headlines. Chris Rock is going to reboot the Saw franchise? Is that right?
Yep, that's...
And the breakout star of Khan is Mel Gibson?
Oh, boy.
And in some movies that are very, very poorly chosen, given his background.
Or very intentionally chosen.
Right. I don't know. Still poorly, in my opinion, but we'll get to that. But first, Jay Keith, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I recently searched for waterfalls near Sydney because I'll be going to Sydney, Australia next week. And I like waterfalls.
Weird flex there, mate. Okay.
Not a flex, just a I wanted to mention the travel here because last time I was here, I mentioned that a recent Google search was
South CAC or something?
It was a theater in Charlotte. And I ended up meeting up with a bunch of Daily Zeitgeist fans in Charlotte. And it was awesome. Right. It was, I believe they call themselves a hashtag Zeit Gang.
Yes.
And let me tell you, the initiation, I was not expecting the curb stomping as part of it. But no, it was a great time. I actually kept in touch with some of them. And so if there's anyone who's going to be in Sydney next week or in a place that I think is called Wollombi or
Wollombimbi?
There you go.
Yeah,
how
right
did you know that?
Nice. You got to know how to say the bloody cities of your... I don't know. I have no idea.
All I know
is it gets in my fucking
head. Apparently, it's the second highest waterfall in Australia.
Whoa.
And I would go seek out the first one, but there's no way the first one has a better name than Wollombi. What is it?
Wollombimbi?
There you go.
There you go.
I want to go to Wollombimbi.
You might need to bring fans, Miles just to say that for you.
Yes.
Yes.
There's no other way I could record that.
I could be making that up, too.
No, I think that's right. I'll start calling it that.
Australian Zeit Gang, step up.
Yo,
step
and up I know y'all are out there because I interact with some of you in the DMs and the mentions. I wish we were going out there sometime.
Yeah.
Because apparently y'all are listening out there.
Australian tour. Let us know that you're here for it, and maybe it'll happen. But hit Jay Keith up and show him a good time.
First, he'll come as an emissary of the Zeit squad.
Yes.
And, which treat means him, treat him with
I get
respect.
Any swag or moonies or anything to bring?
Yeah, yeah, okay. We'll arm you with some TDZ
fidget spinners.
Fidget spinners.
Nice. By the way, they sound like this.
There it is.
Very good.
All right. What, you doing anything down there that's worth talking about?
I'm going to go see a waterfall.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. No, well, I was there around Thanksgiving, and I made a pal there and was going to go see her and see a bunch of stuff. And I travel a lot of times for the mileage and for the obviously the experience as well. And so this was all motivated because there was a good fair, and I had a friend there, and Australia's awesome, that's and I right. want to see more of it.
Are you talking about Guatemala?
I think it was. I'll look it up on the phone if you want, but I'm pretty sure it was the Wallamong.
Hey, well, look, you know what? Just tear up my mentions. Aussies, I can.
Do people on Twitter like to correct people?
No.
Is that a thing?
No.
Nah.
It says here Wallamombi Falls.
Oh, Wallamombi.
Wallamombi Falls.
Yeah, right then.
Yeah, so I like waterfalls and I like Australia and I like traveling and I like meeting up with people. So.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds wonderful.
Let's do it.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. No-show socks.
No-show socks.
I don't know if anyone's wearing them now in the room.
Got white crew socks
Jack
on.
Does. I don't understand the appeal. Why wouldn't you want to show the socks there? Why do you have socks?
Great ankles, Jay Keith.
Yeah.
Great
Let's
ankles.
See your ankles, Jay Keith. Maybe you're hiding something.
I'm hiding a tattoo with a sock on my ankle.
Okay.
But no, you know, it actually is more of a specific situation.
Okay.
As you can probably imagine, I'm in therapy. And my therapist wears no-show socks sometimes with shoes, and it drives me crazy. I can't not mention it every time because I just feel like this is not appropriate for a professional therapy setting to see a man's
what
ankles.
What is it because it's the side of the ankle, or it gives you the jerk reaction of like, maybe they're not wearing socks?
Right.
And that would be nasty.
Right. So I have started to make him show them to me because the idea that he would not wear socks to a professional therapy setting.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, sure. He's helped me get over a lot of my depression and deal with a lot of my family issues and get me at one point into a stable relationship and a stable job. But all of that is negated
by having
to see his ankles.
Well, that could be part of his exposure therapy.
Espadrilles.
Are these no-show socks with dress shoes?
Or? Sometimes. Or dress issues.
Dress-ish.
Yeah. And I understand that, you know, okay, yes, you don't want to wear a black dress sock, you know, up to your calf when you're wearing shorts.
With the garter.
I understand. Yeah. Although a garter is quite appealing.
With the man garter or whatever.
Yeah, the man garter. But I don't see what the payoff is like what it's a, why,
it's
why
a
the sock
aesthetic
shame?
Thing
it's
a,
yeah
I don't
it's
I
not
don't
even shame okay so the reason I do it is I remember as a kid that was just like the sneaker look that we rocked is that we would always you just didn't want like because I think we saw growing up at white crew socks as being like what teachers wore what our grandpappy's socks they would wear those and then I think with sneaker culture it was cool to just kind of have your ankle out or whatever. It looked seamless. It looked like a cool look. I remember, shout out to my boy Chris, who used to take, his parents wouldn't buy them for him at first. He would pull his sock all the way down and have all the excess at the toe and
fold
over.
Fold that under.
You know what I mean?
All right. Well, or compared to that, I'm not a monster. Obviously, it's better than that.
But I understand, though, too, because whenever I wear no-show socks, people always go, are you not wearing socks?
Yeah.
It's not even that it's about the style of it. It's more what I've encountered is people are concerned about the inside of my shoe smelling like shit. Yeah.
Right. Or just you're not doing well. Like, you can't afford socks or something.
Right.
Yeah, I think part of it is the aesthetic that, look, I'm so just relaxed and not sweaty that I don't even need socks.
I don't want that in a therapist. I want my therapist not to be so relaxed.
Right, exactly.
And again, I think it's a little more okay if you're wearing maybe a boat shoe or a sneaker, but with a dress, anything dressy at all or an espadrille, I find
it very uncomfortable. I've also noticed when a few spring weddings I've been to, I've noticed the cropped pants look where people like the nose. Sock look with that. Like, that's just kind of, you know, that's where the fashion editors of the world are
look,
steering.
Fashion doesn't have to make sense. I understand that. People express yourself how you want. I just think it's overrated.
Yeah, look,
and
I get it,
and
yeah.
especially if you're paying the same price. Like, it should be a quarter as much of the price
for
no show sock.
Oh, hell,
I get
mine for like fucking nothing.
Okay.
They're like disposable at this point.
Mm.
And I don't recommend being, you know, buying your socks like that. But they have cheap. Like,
do you know how much of our landfills are filled with disposable
with my
socks?
With my discarded socks?
Yeah, the ones that you used to try on a shoe at the shoe store.
I know. I'm about to banish myself onto the Pacific Gyre for my contribution to
my
Blues.
Secret is I go to women's shoe stores, and you know those little footy things that they put on. That's
the
what
foot
I
condom
actually,
for when you try on the shoe.
That's what I use.
You will never be my therapist.
What is something you think is underrated?
Yamiche Alcindor.
There you go.
Yamiche Alcindor.
I love me some Yamiche Alcindor. Sindor. She's
a journalist,
White House correspondent for the PBS NewsHour. In general, mm-hmm. I think the PBS NewsHour is underrated. I listen to it. They do a free podcast of the full show every day.
Yeah.
And I just love that she's young. She's a woman of color. She talks like a regular person, and yet she's still a straight down the middle professional journalist. And even when they ask her questions or when she's on Meet the Press or something every once in a while, you can tell she's as fed up with this bullshit as everybody else, but yeah. She still answers as a professional reporter. She's a journalist, and I totally respect her. And she's a pretty good Twitter follow as well.
Yeah.
All right.
And remember, her name's Yamiche Alcindor. It's fun to say.
That is a dope name.
No relation to Kareem, right?
Lou Alcindor?
Yeah.
I actually don't know. Let's find out.
Damn, yes. That would be some real interesting
connection. No way to know.
No way to know. Wish we did.
Yeah.
Because we live in the end times. But, I mean, if you don't remember, she was the woman who made waves when she asked Trump to his face, right. You think your rhetoric is emboldening white nationalists? And
right.
He goes, oh, that's such a racist question.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, fuck you.
I wish that it just kept going for like the whole show.
I was going more of a Spike Jones record.
Yeah, maybe. Directed by Michelle Gondry.
All right. I am different now following yeah. Yamiche Alcindor.
Oh, yeah.
And that sounds like a great resource, the PBS NewsHour.
Yeah, I think it's really underused, especially. But, you know, I think you think of it as like, oh, that's something for parents and grandparents and all that. But it's sober. It's straight ahead. It's not centrist. You know, it's not trying to – doesn't suffer from the both sidism. But it's real good journalism. And there's a lot of women on it. It's like, you know, it's very quietly become
never
a very
mind.
Oh, sorry.
Count me out.
Out.
What – is it a daily show?
Yeah, it's every day.
Oh, okay.
PBS NewsHour.
All right. Never
used
mind.
Used to be the McNeil Lehrer Report. Then it was
Zygang,
something.
Don't listen. Don't what? Listen to that.
Why? You only
because they
only
get
allowed...
their news here.
Okay.
The McNeil Lehrer NewsHour.
Are you guys on weekends?
No.
Okay. You can listen to Hari Srinivasan then report from Lincoln Center. Oh,
we got the weekly
on the weekends.
Man, you know that too. Yeah. But, you know.
What is a myth? What's something people?
I think a myth that I recently debunked for myself anyway was that it is bad and or dangerous and or depressing to travel to Russia.
Whoa.
I just got back a few weeks ago. I was in Russia for a week. I went to St. Petersburg and I went to Moscow, and I travel a lot. It was one of my favorite trips I've ever done.
Really?
It was great. The people were friendly. A lot of things are in English. A lot of people speak English. Easy to get around. Granted, I'm a straight white male who is not a journalist or a dissident. That being said, it was, you know, when you talk to the people who live there, they're very aware of, you know, all the stuff that's not great of it. But it's so I was just so impressed with Moscow, and I can't wait to go back. It's just it's vibrant and fun and weird.
Is it still one of the most expensive cities in Europe?
Well, that's maybe the sub myth of it is that you definitely can go there and
sure.
live like a sultan
of
and
course.
You
yeah,
know
yeah.
spend $1,000 a night in a hotel and all that. But I found everything that was in my wheelhouse of things that I wanted to do and buy were less expensive.
The daily lives of regular.
Yeah.
Day-to-day Russian people.
Yeah. I mean, no, granted, you know, there's the wages and there's, you know, everything's yeah. relative with medical care and taxes and all that kind of stuff. But no, as far as being a visitor, I was really prepared for, you know, oh, well, first of all, you know, getting scammed and being dangerous and all that. None of that kind of stuff happened. But
right.
everything was much, much less expensive than I thought it was going to be. And I can't wait to go back.
Interesting. Yeah. Hearing about somebody going to Russia was like a group of people I know who are like entertainers, and it was a mixed group, people of color, gay people,
yeah.
and they had not the best time there.
Yeah, no,
I
and
think
I'm aware
not that,
that
it was dangerous, and not
involved.
To say that you know invalidates your experience, but I think yeah. you know, it's I think and any place can be many different things to many.
No, absolutely, no, and I understand that there's some privilege involved and whatnot, but you know, I definitely felt
time.
Like you know the people there are also aware of that stuff, and the people that I met, you know, were glad to talk about and acknowledge all the, you know, all the bad stuff. You know, I was debating about, well, do I want to support this,
right, sure,
you know,
yeah.
with my money and with my travel and all that. But I feel that being able to connect with people and have that kind of one-on-one diplomacy is valuable. And to be
yeah.
able to talk about, you know, I was talking to people, they couldn't imagine that a comedian would go on television and say the president's a liar or
right.
make fun of the president's voice and all that. And so, you know, it does also make you appreciate for, you know, as much as our democracy is falling apart,
yeah.
You know, that we still have that right here for at least another hour.
Right. That's amazing. You really like travel the world. Really,
I'm running from myself.
Is there anything that jumped out to you other than the people being friendly as something you weren't expecting?
I kind of wasn't expecting as much Soviet kitsch that they know that that's what people want to see. There was in Moscow, there's a museum of Soviet arcade games that's really popular, where you can go and play these, you know, incredibly boxy. You know, there's a lot of like shooting and a lot of – there were actually a lot fewer ripoffs than I thought. I thought they were just like done, you know, they would have done like Comrade Pac-Man or something like that.
Right.
But some of these machines, you know, had like 200 buttons and you were supposed to like push one to match something that showed up. And so
– Oh, really?
Yeah, some of the controls were crazy. And then there was this pinball game that I was playing, which I thought were like, oh, that's a nice like old-timey pinball game with wooden flippers and lights and a sort of a you know, a counter that kind of scrolled up. And then I looked at the display above it and it was from 1994.
Amazing.
So stuff like that, and just, you know, there are tours that cater to that, and there's other stuff that kind of caters to that old Soviet kitsch. But I also, it was also just interesting to see, you know, how much Soviet stuff they either still embrace or that they just kind of don't mind. Like you'll go into a subway station and there's a big mosaic of Lenin,
and also
the subway stations were also, I think, super unexpected. Just how freaking gorgeous, especially in Moscow. I took some videos where I was panning down and you would think, oh, you're obviously in a palace or a fancy hotel ballroom. And then you pan down and the train pulls in and people are coming out.
Just wow.
Absolutely stunning palaces underground.
Huh. Yeah. So
also
so,
vodka. The vodka was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vodka like in fast food
there?
Places.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
No,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Vodka
not like
and fast food?
I didn't go to a McDonald's. We can talk about McDonald's and stuff later, I know. But I did go to a couple places that were like fast order, sort of fast casual places.
Yeah.
And yeah, you could get a super ice cold glass of vodka with a lemon, like with your burger.
Wow.
So that was
okay.
Cool too.
Vodka with lemon. That's interesting that the Soviet stuff is almost like part of a brand that's been like incorporated. Is it, does it have all the late capitalism trappings that we have over here?
But you know, it's interesting. You, especially St. Petersburg, you wouldn't know. St. Petersburg just reminded me of, oh, it's a very pleasant sort of Western European town. Like it doesn't look, you know, when you talk to people and you understand, you know, what's going on behind the scenes and all that. But you wouldn't think, oh, I'm in a formerly communist country or I'm in a place that, you know, other than maybe, again, some of the subway decor and the fact that the subways are so deep under the ground because they wanted to withstand a nuclear blast.
Right.
there was hardly anything you would notice that felt like, oh, my God, this is, you know, this where the Soviet Union stuff happened. I mean, even being in Red Square.
Right.
You know, there's this huge building that's been turned into a mall. And
there's like ads up and stuff.
Not as much of that in Red Square. It's still pretty. It's still pretty.
Doesn't look like
reverent.
Times Square.
Yeah, no, it's not like. There's a big Coke bottle. No, nothing. Not like that. But yeah, I took a lot of pictures of the fast food chains, the Western fast food chains. Not because I was so surprised to see them, but just because they were in the Russian writing
Cyrillic.
But, yeah, in the Cyrillic. But they were still in the font and color.
Oh, right.
Of what you expect from the logo. So that was weird to see. Like, oh, right, they also have fonts. And,
right.
You know, so that kind of stuff.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I think you've sold me on traveling there because just the Soviet arcade games. The idea that, you know, their technology was evolving in a completely different like silo from ours, and
absolutely,
like what video games could have turned out to.
Well, it's also
like
fun because on the signage they have for all the games there, which you can play all of the games that they have on display. They'll also say who made it and what they were usually doing. And so it was, you know, this is a game where you get to hunt ducks, and it was made by people who make, you know, radar for shooting down missiles, or you know, so like almost all of them had like military applications, and they were just doing this while they were waiting for the next, you know, military order.
Those are the video games you could have been playing today if Rocky hadn't won that fight.
Which might come up on Sunday show.
It just might.
That might be one of your topics.
All right. Let's talk about this new poll from a social media outlet that I will say the name of shortly. It broke America down into 38 different accents and ranked them by sexiness, according to a poll of, I think it was like, they have 1.5 million social media followers, and they surveyed, I think, all of them. The group is called Big Seven, and the answers they found were somewhat surprising.
Okay, so they're asking people
on their social.
What's your sexiest accent?
Yeah,
what do you think
I think they gave them a list and asked them to, you know, order it.
Mm-hmm.
Boston was ranked number two. As the number two sexiest, which all made right. me wonder if, I don't
Holy
know, if
shit,
it was a
pal.
more more women than men answering because I just you,
you
never,
think more women like a Boston, a man's Boston accent?
A man's Boston accent. Well, if you think about like I always use movies as like my proxy for understanding like the American unconscious and like movies you've had like Mark Wahlberg and like it's like a rite of passage for like a male lead to come up with a Boston accent, like play a Bostonian. Whereas the only women who have Boston accents are portrayed as like townies and, you know.
I'm trying to think of the last time I was like, oh, the town? When like Blake Lively was like a Southie?
Yeah, yeah. And even then it's like portrayed as like a
rough,
a heart.
But
a,
hey, maybe this
hardship.
Is what, this might be more telling what people are into.
Right.
It's not about the standard. It's like, yo, you know, I like that.
So number one was Texas, which makes sense because you can kind of...
People like the Southern drawl.
Yeah, if you're using
drawl.
Movies as a proxy, like there's been sexy men with Texas accents and sexy women. But Boston was surprising me. Philly being number eight was really surprising to me.
Well, also, seventh is Hawaiian.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you must have such an ear for nuanced accents to even be able to rank these, right? Because if you told me, oh, can you, like, between a Northwestern accent and a... like a youper. I'm like, what's a youper?
Right. Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, this does not seem to be the most scientific of polling. I mean, it's possible the people they were polling happened to live in those places.
Right.
But also, I think they probably were asking, do you think Hawaiian people are sexy? Not necessarily the accent.
Right. Yeah, people are just picturing the...
They're like, yeah, I remember I was in Maui and these really cool guys came up to me and they're like, hey, get the fuck out of here, haole. And I was like, it was so hot.
Who are you?
But... and also, like, sexy is so subjective.
Sure.
Like, there's no way to really rank this shit.
And I think this is important scientific work that we're talking about here, guys.
Look, I think I'm just mad because Valley, California Valley's 46.
Yeah.
What
I mean,
was
first
last?
Of all, it's...
Long Islander. That's
Long
fucked
Island.
Up.
Yeah.
I like that.
Long Islander. That's fucked. Yeah.
Pennsylvania Dutch. I mean, yeah, like...
Pennsylvania Dutch... Yeah.
Oh, those sexy Amish? No, that didn't make it higher.
Yeah.
I mean, right. What you think about an accent is completely subjective. I find a Southern accent attractive, but I lived in Kentucky when I was going through puberty. I'm sure those two things are like related in some way. But and it's also, not the methodology isn't strong here, but I do find accents very interesting. So,
which is odd, but they have Chicano on here, but there's no like, is there like African American vernacular?
Yeah, that's another question. Is like they don't have cultural; they just break it down regionally.
Well, just Chicano is
the region of Chicano.
Yeah, that's I'm like that's very specific.
Oh right, yeah.
But okay, whoever did this poll, hit me up.
Yeah,
because I'll rearrange this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if I could describe my accent, I assume it would be very high on the list.
Yes,
just sort of generic Midwestern.
That is on the list.
Is it?
Yeah, they said, I think it's like
American.
General American.
He was my favorite general.
Yes.
I like General Mills. General Mills I was a big fan of. Yes. Made a good cereal.
General American was ranked 32nd on the list.
Right in the middle. That's what it should be.
Between Atlanta and Hudson Valley. Like, what's a Hudson Valley accent?
Oh, you don't know the Hudson Valley?
I know it exists. I just don't know what it sounds like.
Sound like that's beaver trapping? Industry.
Sounds like they'd rather be in New York City.
Right.
Yeah. Stephen Colbert was the example they used for the general American, but I think it's anybody who speaks on TV.
I guess also, Zeitgang, help me understand, right? What's the difference between a Cincinnati accent
and a Southern Ohio accent?
Right. Or like what's the New Mexican accent?
Yeah. It's interesting.
Like if you talk like Walter White?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Jesse Pinkman, is that New Mexican?
All right, we're gonna take
okay,
a moment
no
to ponder
answers for
all
that, then.
We're gonna take a moment to ponder all of these questions, and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and Miles, This headline you wrote as "Let's Make a War, Iran Edition."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, while people are really getting upset about Game of Thrones, there's some just a lot of shit going on, especially with Iran. And the all kinds of takes coming out of the administration that are so confusing and inconsistent, you're hearing some things that are dovish, and other things that sound like straight up war drum solos that people are fucking banging. Now, the House Intelligence Committee, they were asking, like, can we get a briefing? And then a lot of senators also, like, can we hear from an intel agency what exactly this, like, increased threat is that people have been talking about, especially John Bolton? Yet no one came to brief them because the White House said the situation is, quote, fluid. Which I believe is the exact reason why you would want to be briefed on things so you can understand the fluidity and what the forces at work are. But apparently that's not happening.
And isn't it a lot of the things that they are suddenly being provoked by are things that have been happening for years?
I mean, a lot of the stuff recently, they're pointing stuff like there's a backdrop of like sabotaged oil tankers and oil pipelines being attacked. And some people look at that as like, those are warning shots to the United Arab Emirates and the Saudis that getting in bed with America in this, you might want to stay out of this because we can fuck up your precious crude and the production of that as well.
But my question is, aren't those things like things that have happened in the past?
Yeah, so like
we're kind of choosing to be like, for justification. What the fuck did you just say?
Yeah, right. Like, well, like especially when you look at stuff like when you're pointing to like the actions of like the Houthis in Yemen and things like that, that has been going on. Like Saudis have had problems. That is not new. There's a lot of this is not new.
Right.
This is just being recontextualized to try and be like, oh, we'll see. You see what's going on? Not that it's excusable, but to act like this is some like we've crossed the Rubicon or something is absurd. And you're hearing that around the world, too, because there was a British general recently who just came out and said, we have no evidence to justify any assessment that there is some kind of increased threat from Iran. Full stop. And this is just some shit coming out of the White House because who knows what's going on. I mean, if you look at Donald Trump's past tweets, he once famously tweeted, in order to get reelected, Barack Obama will start a war with Iran. So I don't know if that's in his mind. He thought that was like an effective way to get the country to rally around a president, because it's not.
Right.
And we're also looking at a conflict that no one in the White House is equipped with, like in terms of Iranian diplomacy by any means, especially when John Bolton is leading the charge. And the factors at play are so different. Like, you can't compare this conflict to one like in Iraq in any conceivable way. You can't even compare it to North Korea, because like, that was a very tense situation that de-escalated. But Kim Jong-un is different, right? Like, he has absolute control over North Korea. He can say whatever the fuck he wants. And if people want to pipe, like, no one's going to pipe up and be like, whoa, whoa, I thought they were the enemy. What's going on?
Right,
because you will just get killed.
You will get shot by an anti-aircraft weapon.
Right, exactly.
Like and his uncle.
I think even, but in Iran, you know, like, you can't expect Rouhani, the President Rouhani, to somehow pick up the phone and send lovely letters, because there's a lot of shit going on in terms of the power structure there. Like, the Supreme Leader, he can't suddenly make nice with the U.S. because the framing of the relationship or the tension between the United States and Iran has always been like, these are the people who overthrew Mossadegh in 1953 and put in the Shah and led to all this other shit. And we have not forgotten that. So forever the enemy, or forever not people we're really fucking with.
Yeah.
And even environmentally, because there's also like a ruling council that have very hardline people in it, they can't just suddenly soften their positioning with the U.S. because it's not the same.
Right.
There's too many factors at force that are not your Donald Trump is not going to get the same outcome he thinks he'll get with North Korea. And that's why it's almost like it doesn't even seem that the administration is interested in those sort of things they put out when they pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal, which lit this whole fuse. And now it's just sort of like, oh, I think something's going on with them. It wasn't even like, you need to do this, 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 and this, and then we can start negotiating. And now it's just like, we gave our number to the Swiss intermediaries. You can call them if you're ready to talk.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I was looking at a photograph of the USS Abraham Lincoln, and the caption was, an aircraft carrier which has been deployed to the Persian Gulf in response to unspecified threats from Iran.
Well, there was also like,
you can't even specify a reason why.
Well, last week or the week before, when John Bolton was like, yeah, and we're deploying this carrier group out to the Persian Gulf, like that was a pre-planned deployment like months ago. So that was not in response to anything. Yet John Bolton tried to reframe it as if it were. So there's a lot of, there's just so much bullshit going on to try and get people to, I don't know, create some kind of faux outrage that does not exist. And I think that just again, even when you're looking at the geography, like even if you play this out to like for there, you know, I think Tom Cotton was like, hey, man, it's going to be two strikes. The U.S. is first and it's the last one.
Yeah.
And this is not even they're not even.
When has this ever gone well for us to get involved in a war in the Middle East?
Never.
Yeah.
And we're not done with the ones that were started already.
And super producer Anna Hosnier, who has a lot of family in Iran.
My family.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Okay. Awesome.
But no, one of the things was when Iran attacked a Saudi boat that had oil on it because it was in the Hormuz Strait, which that's Iran's like trade route, and they don't obviously get along with Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. So that kind of caused some issues. And then Iran placed missiles on small boats in the Persian Gulf, which kind of made people think that Tehran was going to try and strike U.S. troops or any of its allies. And then they were afraid, you know, of Iran like trying to get into Iraq, which is not.
Yeah,
it's a lot of like they're taking very small things and using those to escalate. And of course, you have like hawks like Pompeo and Bolton, you know, they're kind of pushing this pressure on Trump. And I think like the administration to try and take on this government and country, which is I personally think it's a lot of posturing. It's like a lot of male posturing. I don't think we're going to go to war because I think in the back of everyone's mind, going to a war with Iran, it'll end poorly. Like,
yeah,
so
everybody.
Poorly.
Iran will
completely destroy the Middle East.
Iran has way more cards to play from like strategically where, you know, they're located geographically to, you know,
even the geography
size,
of the country.
Geography of the country, like the military capabilities. Iran would be the worst country to fuck with that the United States has, you know, in our lifetime, the United States has been in wars with.
Yeah, because it's not like Saddam, who was completely isolated, had really, he could only just oppress his own people to exercise his power.
Right.
There are proxies all over the Middle East that Iran could get to attack other places in the Middle East. They have cyber warfare capabilities that Iraq did not have.
Right.
They could, like, they can fucking bang.
Yes.
Like, it's not a, this, I don't know what the fuck people like Tom Cotton are thinking, where you just think you're just going to pull up. It's like one and done. Not to mention the people of Iran are not going to look at the U.S. as fucking liberators by any stretch of the fucking imagination.
Yeah.
Like, only see, a lot, they know their history, unlike the Americans, and they only think of, man, well, what happened when the Shah was put in, and look at what happened. All because British Petroleum was like, we're not going to really split these profits of this oil with you fairly.
You know, the unfortunate thing is I don't think tensions will escalate while Trump is in office. I don't think, you know, Mohammad Javad Zarif, the foreign minister, came out and said there's no future where they sit down and talk to Trump. They don't take him seriously as a leader. They don't want anything to do with him. They believe him to be the cause of all the tension and trouble. So at this point, I feel like it's just going to maintain this kind of like back and forth of like tension until Trump is either out of office or Trump like backs down.
Or does something tremendously stupid.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's
and provokes us something because he has no idea what the fuck is going on and what this, if you got people gassing you up like, oh, we got this. We got this.
We do not have this.
Yeah.
That podcast, the national security like expert podcast that I listen to, Rational Security, was talking about their concerns are not that Trump will lead the United States into war, but that Trump is himself inherently, like, his politics are isolationism, that, like, he doesn't want to fight in war. They're not worried that, like, he's going to bring the impetus for war. They're worried that he is going to be led into war by, you know, the much smarter and, you know, more shrewd people that he surrounds himself with. Or, you know, there's all this posturing going on and somebody accidentally steps on somebody else's toe and it leads to a war. That sort of shit happens all the time. And this is a much more precarious position than the United States has put its military in a long time. And then, you know, the other thing that they're pointing to your point, Anna, is that there was an op-ed in the New York Times by two of the leading security and intelligence officials from Iran and Saudi Arabia, where they were like, we hate each other, but we really don't want to go to war. So,
right.
Like, their thinking is that they couldn't have written that without getting killed if it wasn't approved at some higher level. So their governments are basically like, this guy's an idiot. He's like unstable. We don't want a war to happen under him. Yeah. So like people in the United States and people in Iran don't want a war. And the people like next door especially don't want a war because it's going to fuck up their country too. And they're not even directly being brought to the table.
Yeah. You look at the loss of life and the destabilization that happened from the Iraq war. You want to do that shit all over again.
Right.
And
on a much larger scale.
On a much larger and bloodier level. This is not, dude, the idea of a land war there in a land that landscape that is 3.5 times larger than Iraq, not just open desert
all
like
mountain.
Iraq. It's all mountain.
You will not be able to get to these people.
It is going to be sloppy in there. And Tehran, there will be a battle of Tehran. There will not be like, yo, roll the tanks in and we're going to be throwing parties.
Right.
It's not going to be like that.
Yeah.
And again, we have no allies either. If you want to go into this, I don't see everyone being like, oh, yeah, the UK, the Europe, we're all right with you. We're right on this fucking side
with
of the map.
With all the diplomacy we've done, we don't have allies?
Yeah. One thing you don't realize, Bashar al-Assad is on Iran's side. If you drag Bashar al-Assad into this war to come and back Iran, you have destroyed the Middle East. That will create such a horrible mess. I can't even, the second you bring Bashar al-Assad into anything, you fucked it all up. So, you know, really not the people we want to fuck with right now.
And wouldn't Russia also be on that side?
I don't even know. That's the thing. Like, I don't even want to think about how Russia will get involved.
Right.
Like, that's the thing I don't even understand. And I don't.
Right.
I don't know.
Imagine if there was like proxy attacks on Israel.
Right.
Which
provokes a response from Israel. We can no longer hold that back. I mean, it's
on the plus side. Look at how much closer we be to the biblical prophecy of end times.
Of course, and all the conservative Christians are loving me.
Right.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right. And that's, I mean, cotton is one of those, I believe. So, you know, who knows where his priorities are. Let's talk about...
Before we end, if you want to know more about this, listen to my podcast, Ethnically Ambiguous, Will you accept this Iran? Where I, you know...
Will you accept this truth?
We've been talking a lot about Iran and what's going on.
So and if you don't want to know anything about this, listen to my podcast, Go Fact Yourself, exactly. Where I don't think we've ever mentioned the word Iran.
That's my expertise.
And you guys are talking specifically about Iran in this week's episode,
this
right?
week's, this past week's, and next week's will also be about Iran. Okay. Just furthering the what's been coming out.
It's a great podcast where you can, you know, get smart on Middle East stuff and get to hang out with two of the smartest, funniest.
It's a podcast that poses the question: what if The Bachelor was talking about Iran?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. All right, and then in other just terrible news that is keeps coming in this administration and in this version of government that. We have currently more states are enacting just incredibly strict laws on abortion bans.
Just abortion bans.
Yeah. Full on.
Just full stop. Yeah, I mean, last episode when we recorded at the time, Governor Kay Ivey had not signed that law that had reached her desk, and she did. So there's that. But there's been a lot of widespread concern over these because there's a lot... insane amount of misinformation going around, especially in states that are affected by these bills. But as it stands, abortion is still legal, more or less, in the United States until hopefully SCOTUS does not overturn Roe versus Wade, and hopefully we'll let it stand. You know, the ACLU has already announced its plans to sue to block the laws, and most federal courts are very likely to overturn the laws before they even take effect, and then triggering all the countersuits and trying to argue all the way to the Supreme Court. But one, I think an interesting thing about this is sort of seeing the fallout on the GOP side of things, because a lot of conservatives have began to voice their concern over these bills because they're like, this could fucking backfire in terms of actually really motivating and energizing people to vote against Republicans because they see, oh, this is what the Republican brand is? I want nothing to do with it. But we don't know what's going to energize
people. Pat Robertson is against this. Like,
that shocked me. I could not believe I heard Pat Robertson say.
I mean, a broken clock is right twice a day, but still.
But like Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said, quote, I believe in exceptions for rape, incest, and for life of the mother, and that's what I voted on. Like, very much was like, this is too extreme. Eric Erickson, who's a conservative writer and typically always on the very, very right, politically, not right or wrong, side of things, also said, I also think we risk turning people against the cause by a dogmatic insistence on getting rid of an exception for rape. We can pat ourselves on the back for a purity to the cause, but it will ultimately doom our cause by treating complicated issue as an easy choice of choosing the victim we cannot see for the victim we can see. And so they're like, we get what y'all are trying to do, but this is the potential blowback. And I think this is exactly why this is one of the 100,000 stains on their quote-unquote party. And I think at this point, every Republican needs to be held accountable for this kind of shit because this is what is being done in the name of this party.
Right. This is only 17% of the American population thinks that Roe v. Wade should be overturned. 17%. It's an outright. It's an incredibly unpopular position. Yeah.
There's also the risk, too, that the evangelical base, who was so important to Trump, could bail or get disillusioned if these bills fail to ultimately overturn Roe v. Wade because he was out here being like, I'm your guy. And if you're coming out here taking, pulling up from 50,
it didn't work,
not even 40, trying to just hit the rim, it's not going to happen. Again, he said, this is the same Eric Erickson. Decisions that would preserve Roe, particularly with the Trump pick joining the majority, would depress some segments of the conservative movement that totally invested in the line that holding their noses to vote for Trump would see Roe overturned, and that will matter in 2020. And again, Pat Robertson. Okay, didn't he? Oh, wait, no, that's Jerry Falwell, but still on the same level of wacky. He said, I think Alabama has gone too far. They've passed a law that would give a 99-year prison sentence to those who commit abortions. There's no exception for rape or incest. It's an extreme law, and they want to challenge Roe v. Wade, but my humble view is that this is not the case we want to bring to the Supreme Court because I think this one will lose.
Yeah. Some people, like Joel Mathis in The Week, was talking about how this could backfire on the right because— it is the laws that they're enacting are way past what the popular support is for, or even like close to popular support is for. And, you know, they've seen in Kansas, for instance, which is a state where abortion doctors have been murdered, and it has a extremely pro-life
anti-choice. We're trying to we're changing it up.
Has a extremely anti-choice voter record. They still, when somebody tried to go this far, they voted them out of office because they were like, okay, we're not extremists.
Right.
And they're enacting, the anti-choice side of this is enacting laws that are unpopular. And, you know, there could be a backlash, but I mean, that's just, I feel like, you know, women whose bodies are being, you know, threatened with these laws probably don't have the patience or to sit around and wait to see that backlash come about. I mean, this is really
I can't believe we're going through this again. I mean, I'm remembering being 16 and protesting, you know, for to keep abortion safe and legal. And the fact that it's going backwards like this is just, it's bewildering. But we still got to stay engaged, and you got to stay involved. And if you can give money to people who are defending this, you got to do that.
I mean, the Dark Ages happened after the, you know,
Enlightenment.
The Enlightenment and the...
I don't know if that's true.
No.
Okay.
No,
after the
it
light
happened
ages.
After the...
after the Bright Ages. I didn't know there could be history on the quiz.
The Dark Ages happened after, you know, ancient Rome and ancient Greek philosophy and all sorts of really brilliant shit happening around the world. So
and brilliant shit.
Brilliant shit, bro.
To quote Socrates.
Yes.
So, yeah, you guys can donate to the Yellow Hammer Fund if... this is something that you care about, which, you know.
And if you can't,
if
please.
If you don't care about it, talk to a woman in your life.
And I will match any donation up to a total of $30.
There you go.
Oh, each person? So
no,
how
just
many?
Total.
Oh, 30. Okay. Well, yeah. And
I'm going to give $30 either way. So.
Well, yeah. And I think people. Also, too, it's very important if you have, like, even, you know, family members who are confused about this. This is about just straight up government control over someone's body.
Right. Yeah.
Just full stop. Don't even look. I mean, look, they can think about all the propaganda they've been fed or whatever. But at the end of the day, this thing is about treating the like women's bodies as state property. They have no agency. And if all the people who are nuts about all kinds of other rights and shit like that, you should look at this and be scared shitless.
Right.
It's a big deal.
Because who the fuck you think it's going to come for next? Who knows?
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and we're heading into the weekend of the final episode of Game of Thrones. Miles, you guys talked yesterday about some of the fan backlash.
Yes.
And we talked earlier in the week about how I think some of the fan backlash was being driven by, you know, people reading and thinking about and, you know, debating all these different fan theories that are really exciting to talk about. And it's like, oh, that would be an amazing plot twist if this happened, or if, you know, if Arya was secretly, like, not Arya, and then Littlefinger was actually alive, and Bran warped into a... So there's all these Reddit fan theories that are extremely popular because they're really fun to think about. So a writer at The Week went through and actually, like, listed them as, like, things that they wish had happened in Season 8. And going through, I didn't see, like, they're all fun things that I think I had heard of in one form or another. And I'm not convinced they have a single theory on there that would actually work. Like, I think they're all things that are great for thinking about as fan theories. But, like, one of them is a theory in which Middlefinger is still alive.
Middlefinger?
Middlefinger.
Is that Thomas Middleditch playing Peter Baelish?
In which little
like middle fingers.
This would have been a middle finger to fans of the show, I think. But yeah, where Littlefinger's still alive and working with the Waif who killed Arya in that suspiciously pitch dark fight Arya had with the Waif. And then stole her face, and they're like, why didn't the direwolf recognize Arya?
So they're saying Arya could be the Waif this whole time?
This whole time.
No, fuck
that. Arya got killed. So it's fun to think about because they're like, wait, why didn't the direwolf recognize Arya? Why did that fight happen in the dark? Like, why wouldn't they show her kill her if they didn't have this plot twist in mind?
They ran out of production days.
Right. Well, no, it was also like that scene was fucking dope. And also the direwolf couldn't recognize her because she had changed. That was the point of that scene. But it's these are fun to think about. But I don't think any theory where it's like, oh, they should have done this other plot twisty thing is a valid reason to get mad at the show, because a lot of those things are just like a sugar high that like would actually fuck the show up.
Right. I mean, that's just a bizarre idea, like, and it would just negate everything before. Like, there's nothing that would propel the story further if you're like, and Arya was the Waif the whole
right.
time.
It's just a plot twist for plot twist's sake.
That's like, I don't know if you watched Dexter, but in season 6, when Edward James Olmos was like basically a fucking hallucination.
They sixth sensed an entire season of
Dexter? Yeah, and like, you thought he was a real fucking person, then you're like, oh, Colin Hanks is kind of seeing shit. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what the fuck? We just went this whole motherfucking season acting like this guy. Okay, fuck you.
Right.
So, I don't know.
They, Zack and the Rippers, an entire season of, I forget what the name of Zack's band was from Saved by the Bell, but there's a whole episode where he becomes a huge rock star and it turns out to be a dream. And that bummed me out.
Yeah, what was The Zach attack.
The Zach attack, yes. Yeah. Anyways, go read through the theories. Get them out of your system. Like, one of them that I liked was the idea that Bran would eventually warg into one of the dragons and, like, use... somehow, like, be better at being a dragon than a real dragon, which I was like, oh, that would be sick if he warged into a dragon, but why would he be better at dragoning than a dragon? Like, that was very dumb.
PhD in dragoning.
I would just like to point out, I have never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. Nor read it, so unless all of a sudden they played on a game show or went to see a baseball game, I don't think anything to suggest.
No, there's, I mean, at this point, we're basically burning up on reentry here.
I think it's a lot, wouldn't you think, though, it's separation anxiety? People are sad that they want to feel like some control because this thing that they love is going away.
Absolutely. I think that's right.
Especially for people who have like been like, I've given a decade of my life to this.
It's like, you got to leave high school at some point, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, yo, please don't put all your eggs in a TV show basket, please. Mm-hmm.
Please don't put all your eggs
in a TV show.
Yeah, invest
basket.
In podcasts.
Please don't put your life eggs in a TV show basket. By the way, it's very evident that you are not a Game of Thrones fan by the timing of this recording that we're doing on Sunday.
Oh, which because you'll be missing an episode?
Yeah, I will be missing
the final
episode and the Game of Thrones finale party that we are throwing.
You are a dedicated guest. I appreciate that.
At the HQ.
At the HQ.
Maybe we'll go live. You can see how we party.
Yeah, you should.
Let a carne.
And then I'll go live and be like, what happened? Let's talk about Taco Bell Hotel.
Taco Bell Hotel.
The Taco Bell Inn.
I'm a corporate whore. What can I say? You know,
Jake Heath, what are your thoughts on Taco Bell?
I don't mind it when I've had a lot to drink.
Okay.
It actually has a pleasant memory for me because my grandmother, who lived in Louisville, Kentucky, when I would go and visit her, you know, she obviously would take care of me for many years. And I wanted one time to take her out to dinner and asked her where she wanted to go. And she wanted me to take her to Taco Bell.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because she loved their tostada salad. And we would get it. And then she would sit at the booth and she would lay out a napkin like a placemat. and eat it with a little fork and knife and all that. So yes. So
Yum Brands runs that town.
They really do. There's the Yum Center. And the whole
Is that like where the HQ is?
I don't know if it's at the HQ. If that's the HQ, but
it's in that region. I think they're in Long Beach or something. They're not far from here.
Yeah, but Yum Brands like has a bunch of
like per capita, like it's very congested.
I think Louisville used to play in the Yum Stadium.
I think they do now, Yum Center. I saw Bruce Springsteen there a couple years ago as well.
All right. I've
heard the story, but I don't know that much about it. Like, is it made, are, like, the rooms made of tostada shell?
Well,
like,
it's very, the aesthetic will be very T-Bell.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know if your pillow is a burrito. Or, you know, it looks like a burrito with memory foam inside.
Right.
Idea. But look, hey.
Now, is this a pop-up thing or is this a real thing that they're going to and sustain?
They describe it as it's a full service resort and a hotel. So they have a pool. They have a fucking salon where you can get like Taco Bell nailed shit or a fade or braids. I don't know.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
It's basically what we were talking about earlier this week with. Monsanto Mountain, because we were saying Hershey's Park just is a random brand to have a theme park, but I was suggesting a Mountain Dew themed extreme sports themed park.
Sounds real already,
right? And then Taco Bell took us up on it. They're making the
and what was Monsanto Mountain?
We were just saying other world brands that probably inexplicably got in the theme park
world. Did it have a merry-go-round up?
Yeah. Ooh.
There
Yeesh.
You go.
Yeah. Oh. It's funny because I did say the theme beverages would just be you drinking out of a Roundup container.
Ah, there you go.
Because the lawyers won't drink it. But anyway,
I would check out a Taco Bell hotel. Why not?
Yeah. I'm just so obsessed with like a few menu items that it's my brand is just loving Taco Bell, and a bunch of people are like, you see Taco Bell hotel, it's coming out. One thing they do say is that there would be a wedding. That you could get a Taco Bell themed wedding.
Well, they have that already in Vegas. There's a cantina, Taco Bell cantina on the Vegas Strip where you can get alcohol and then you can also get married.
This man knows it all.
Yeah.
Which seem related.
Wait, let me see that ankle tattoo. Yum Brands.
I'm a shill. I bet it would be very creative because if you think about it, you know, all of Taco Bell, they have a huge menu and it's all made of either a beef.
Four ingredients.
Tomatoes, cheese, and
sour
and salsa.
Cream.
Yeah, and sour cream, and some sort of tortilla. Like, I think it'd be very creative. I'm curious to see. Where is it, by the way? Do we know?
It's going to be in Palm Springs. Naturally. But we don't know exactly where. I signed up to know when the reservations are opening. Mm-hmm. But also, young brands, look, if you're really smart, you're gonna have me there to fucking fawn over
influencer your
hotel. Not I'm an under the influencer is how I like to describe myself.
Did you know that Taco Bell, for their kitchen, they hired origami artists instead of chefs just mm-mm. because to come up with like different themes?
No, you're the
it's just made up.
Okay. I know my bell.
No regular person could figure out how to fold a tortilla once.
Let's talk about McDonald's, who are kind of taking a different step towards legitimacy.
It's just a fucking weird story. So look, if you're an idiot abroad and you need, and you're in Austria, very specific scenario, if you're an American in Austria and you don't know what the fuck you're doing and you need the U.S. Embassy, well, you can go to one of the nearly 200 McDonald's locations in the country where they are training people to help tourists get in contact with the U.S. Embassy.
So it's like I'd like a Big Mac and an asylum.
Yeah, right. I'd like a Big Mac and I lost my passport, right. Please. And it's just very, I don't know. I mean, I get it because I can see Americans being so unaware of how to get shit done that they would think that wait, McDonald's, please.
They'll know.
The true sign of American imperialism.
Well, I do travel a lot and I do go to a lot of McDonald's when I'm abroad because it's a place that you know you can get a bathroom and you can get free Wi-Fi.
Right.
So, maybe if they could go full service. I don't eat there, but
it's just, it's funny to watch literally we're seeing corporate locations turn into go-betweens for citizens and the government.
But what was the need for this? Were too many people not finding the U.S. Embassy in Austria? Were not finding...
I don't know. I
wonder if they did some consumer research and found that people... One of the ways that people think about them is a safe place abroad or an island in a foreign country or,
No, there's definitely a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. So maybe they're just let's step into that and see if we can do something to reverse this tailspin in our image of, being selling Americans poison.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Was that in the press release?
Yeah. So we're going to try and use this to reverse the tailspin we've been in for the past decade. Actually, they already did that with bacon.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So completely random word match. Mm-hmm. Chris Rock to reboot the Saw franchise. What the fuck?
I thought it was
a
joke.
Possible?
Apparently, he is a fucking really big fan of the Saw films, and he pitched them on his vision for what the new Saw era could be. This is a quote from the head of the chairman of Lionsgate. When Chris Rock came to us and described in chilling detail his fantastic vision that reimagines and spins off the world of the notorious Jigsaw Killer, we were all in. Saw is one of the highest grossing horror franchises of all time, and it's one of Lionsgate's most successful film series. This upcoming film will still be as mind-bending and intense as all the previous Saw films. Chris conceived this idea, and it will be completely reverential to the legacy of the material
while
reinvigorating the brand with his wit. And then Chris Rock said, I've been a fan since 2004. Oh, that's my terrible Chris Rock version. But he said, I'm excited by the opportunity.
You know the unsexiest accent.
Yeah, it's Chris Rock. Which is sad because Jimmy Fallon can do a better Chris Rock than me. I'm excited by the opportunity to take this to a really intense and twisted new place.
Is this just Chris Rock trying? He's like, Jordan Peele was a really talented comedian.
He's like, I can think of some fucked up shit too, Jordan.
Right, yeah. I'm just wondering if that's maybe?
Well. Also, I didn't know. Is it soon enough to call it a reboot? When was the last Saw film?
Very recently.
It's still a boot.
Yeah.
And horror movies tend to be the ones that that was.
Thanks.
Good.
I got the laugh from the booth.
Yeah, I think the last movie franchise that tried to reboot a still active franchise was Friday the 13th, or Nightmare on Elm Street did it also. It's whenever slasher movies or horror movies do this, it never really works out.
I mean,
I guess Halloween does it constantly.
Give us 10 years between films before you call it a reboot, not three.
Yeah, I guess
Jigsaw came out in 2017.
Halloween did it, and it broke records for best horror opening of all time. But they totally acknowledged. Wasn't it called Halloween
H2O?
No, not Halloween H2O. I'm sorry. Wasn't the latest Halloween acknowledging that it had been around a while? Because it had Jamie Lee Curtis in the lead.
Right.
And it was her character as a grown up.
Right. Fighting him with Activia yogurt.
Right.
I think. Yeah. That's how this one. And then in Chris Rock, it'll be Little Penny, who is actually in the Jigsaw mask.
Oh, my God.
The Secret Service couldn't guard me. Yeah, I don't. It's kind of interesting, though. I'm intrigued to know. I mean, we only know Chris Rock as a comedian and doing things really explicitly in comedy. So to know, but I feel like, you know, sometimes there's a bit of darkness in many comedians. So I'm curious to know
he might have an artistic vision.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, enough that he came to Lionsgate and he's like, hold on.
Right.
I'm ready to they're like, reboot? The last film was 2 years ago.
Right.
He's like, okay, but I think I have the new Jigsaw.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
is he going to be in it? Is he going to be the Jigsaw fella?
No, I think he's just executive producer, and he has like a story by credit. I mean, I don't know. Oh God, please don't be in it, Chris Rock.
He just doesn't have to be in the middle.
Yeah, right. Could you imagine one of the torture sequences? Him just doing his new comedy.
They're running away, and they just run through a Chris Rock show, right. And you just see in the background like 10 really solid minutes.
Like,
of...
in the background of that torture scene was like a screen playing Bigger and Blacker, his stand-up special.
So good, such a great stand-up
special.
I'm
not saying OJ did it, but I understand. And it's like, okay, all right, Jigsaw.
But yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. He's a very smart, I don't know. Yeah, the Jordan Peele thing made a sort of sense because he's a brilliant comedy mind and there is like a setup punchline kind of shape to a lot of horror. So maybe it will translate.
It would be so amazing if Jordan Peele is like, he like sets off this whole trend of comedians actually thinking of like, hey, but what about all that dark shit you're also thinking about too? And like, rather than turning that into comedy, like, can you just embrace the darkness and give us some fucked up like horror?
Wait, have you guys heard the Jerry Seinfeld's take on the Child's Play franchise? It is mind-blowing.
What's the deal with Chucky?
What's the deal with this doll?
Why am I wearing overalls?
Jay Keith, yes. It has been a pleasure having you on show.
My pleasure to be here. I look forward to having you on my show.
Yeah.
To remind the people, it's this Sunday, the 19th of May at 5 p.m. at the Angel City Brewery downtown. You can go to GoFactorPod.com for tickets. You'll be competing against Jenna Friedman from The Daily Show and her own show on Adult Swim. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Nice.
She's going down. Yeah, you guys can get tickets in the footnotes.
Footnotes.
Come watch me destroy Jenna. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying, Jay Keith?
There was a tweet from this week, a fellow named at Nick Usen, who tweeted out this 2 minutes of DVD commentary of Ben Affleck talking about Armageddon. And talking about how the movie made no sense, and he tried to get it explained to him on the set, and they told him, don't worry about it. So he goes on this whole thing just very derisively about, like, why would they train oil drillers to be astronauts when they have astronauts they could train to be oil drillers?
Yeah.
And it's great just him acknowledging just what a terrible take it is. So it's at Nick Usen, and the tweet actually says, let us all join hands to once again remember the time Ben Affleck got absolutely lit and went off the rails during the Armageddon commentary. And it's pretty fun.
And did you say where people can find you and follow you?
I did not. I'm at J_Keith on Twitter. Australia, hit me up. And then my show, Go Factor Self, is at Go Factor Pod and GoFactorPod.com.
All right. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And some tweets that I like. First of all, yesterday when we were on the last episode, we were talking about what Varys was writing in that note. I was joking around that someone should have done one about the Jersey Shore note.
Right.
And shout out to Andrea Guzman at Drea_225 for bringing my attention to that meme of Varys actually writing it on the
Jersey Shore
note before he burned it up. also, another one from Aparna Nancherla at Aparnapkin. Just saw a squirrel with abs. Which was very, it's weird because I can picture
it. Yeah, me too.
But also I think there's something about it that's so absurd. I don't know why I'm able to picture it so clearly.
Why, when they get up on their hind legs, they like look like they have a tight little body in there, man. I don't know. Squirrels are hot, is what I'm saying. That's my take.
All right, squirrely.
I want to fuck a squirrel. All right. So, Twitter.
Someone who left the Church of Scientology and is talking shit now?
Yes, exactly. A tweet I enjoyed is from @SweatyHarry, two tweets. He tweeted, I wonder if my old DARE officer ever thinks about me too. and then tweeted, I just remember the poster on the wall of a dude saying he smoked a joint and he could hear his hair growing and how fire that sounded. Now I just smoke and think about the fact that there was one night where my parents tucked me in for the last time and I'll never know when it was.
Oh,
which resonates so hard with me as a paranoid, really morose pot smoker. Back in the day.
Wow.
Isn't that fucked up?
That was like some shit.
I thought about that as I was talking to my son in last night. Right. I was like, damn, there's going to be a last time.
Yo, if you're fortunate enough to have your parents still with you, go regress for a moment. Have them tuck you in so at least you can have that memory.
Yeah. Snug as a bug in a rug. That's what I do.
Oh, is that what you say?
Snug as a bug in a rug. Tuck the sheets around them. It's good times.
Oh, you know what? When I think about it, I was never tucked in like that.
Oh, you weren't?
Nah,
because I don't think I was either.
They would be like, "Yo, I'm turning the lights off."
Right.
Okay.
This definitely is a service they should offer at the Taco Bell hotel.
Yes.
Make yourself a little bed burrito.
Taco Bell.
I think that's a drag queen.
Taco Bell. you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This is a little bit of an instrumental track from Swami Million and Fada Trio. Just search Swami Million, SWAMIMILLION. And this track is called Chocolato. It's dope. It's kind of like a, beady, but there's like live instruments. Sounds like some North African stuff going on there. But it's
beady, like little eyes that make you distrust somebody.
I'm sorry?
Beady, like
beady. Oh, okay. Like beats,
like borscht.
Okay, got it.
Yes, thank you. Exactly like borscht. And this track is called Chocolato, but spelled like how you would see it if you were in a gelato shop. So CICCOLATO.
All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. We're going to ride out on Chocolato.
Chocolato.
We are going to be back after the weekend. You guys enjoy your final weekend of Thrones. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Bye. Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.